Well, now let's just take a step back to the original Full Throttle, and it created quite a mood, and that was sort of what really drew me to it. When creating the music for Full Throttle, what were the factors that sort of went into creating this mood?
Well, the first factor was dark. It had to be dark. I mean, there were just everything, even the daytime is dark. So it was really a sonic thing, you know, like low horny horn type sounds and and sort of and like low string section type sounds and, you know, the slide guitar and just, you know, the God Jackals, you know, were very much Men in Black. I'm actually kind of a Man in Black too now that I think of it, but.
Was it more sound design, are you thinking?
I mean, everybody had a theme. You know, Ben had a theme, and Corley had a theme, and Ritberger had a theme. You know, done by Mark Hamill, and Mark Hamill's fantastic voice actor. Jeez. One of the perks, I guess, of that gig was I did actually get to meet him and hang out with him a little bit at the rap party for that game. But very gregarious guy. So there's this, every Mo had a theme. They were themes, but they were all really bare bones. I mean, you know, Ritberger's theme was just like a rising chromatic scale, and Ben's just sort of like this guitar gist, and Mo probably was the one who had Corley and Mo really had a real theme, which, you know, was kind of didn't get the full treatment until the funeral at the end. Which is sort of the kind of, you know, the Samuel Barber-ish thing at the end when the big speech gets made. So a lot of people were suggested with like a couple of notes, but, you know, that's, you can do that. You know, it's like there's Ennio Morricone, and one of those is like Fistful of Dollars or Hang 'Em High or something like that. You know, one guy's leitmotif is just it's just this. Right?
Right.
Open strings on unsexed on a nylon guitar, so it has a better effect. It's like one of the Banditos. Every time you see him, you hear that sound. And I mean, don't quote me on this because it's been a while since I've seen that movie. Maybe it's not a Bandito, but I know that there's that sound, you know. And it's you can do so much. It's really about character I think it does border on sound design. And that was one of the first games where we were really serious about sound design too. Clint did the sound design for Full Throttle, and Gary Rydstrom came down from the ranch, and you know, he was interested in what we were doing in games, and you know, and he sort of had some pointers, and just, you know, some, he was just kind of interested in what we were doing, and we got a lot of sort of inspiration from what they were doing up at the ranch in terms of sound. Is it Gary Rydstrom and Randy Tom and Ben Burt wasn't up there at the time. He kind of goes in and out from time to time. Up there and works on particular projects, but both those guys were, and we got to watch both of them work, and I think that was a big influence for sure.
So we touched briefly on this, but what kind of a budget were you given for creating the music for Full Throttle?
Well, you know, I probably can't get into that because you know, that's the old employer's private stuff, but let's just say it was small. and you know, and every budget in those days was small. I mean, it was, I think Full Throttle, I mean, it was a big budget for those days, the whole game, and it went over budget. But you know, it was one of those things where it was, you know, worth it. But the budgets in those days were teeny tiny compared to now. I get, you know, and the whole thing, I think there was even some talk of possibly releasing Full Throttle on floppy disk still, you know, instead of CD. It was one of the earlier CD releases, so I don't think that, I could be wrong about that, you know. Now I'm getting senile, I'm not sure. The budget was small, and, you know, we did what we could within it. You know, it would have been possible to, you know, with more money to have a little more sound quality and some more musicians. But, you know, it's, you got to actually do the score you can do, not the score you imagine, you know. You got to do what actually, it's the ultimate score is great when no one hears it, you know.
Cool. Well, whose idea was it to have Ride of the Valkyries accompany the release of the toy bunnies. I have to find out, because it's one of the most humorous parts of the game, and it's really funny,
isn't it?
Completely hit me out of the blue the first time I saw it.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I like to take credit for everything, so it might have been me, but it was probably Tim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm almost certain it was Tim. It was just, you know, Tim is very musical. He's very musically aware. He's very hip about music. He knows a lot of musical references. Of course, you know, Ride of the Valkyries is obviously not exactly obscure, but mm-hmm. but he does know obscure references, and he often has, you know, a particular idea about a particular type of piece in a situation. I mean, sometimes he'll just say, do what you think, but once in a while he will actually say, you know, it's something like X, and it'll be something like, you know, like Ride of the Valkyries, or specifically in that case it was Ride of the Valkyries.
Well, now, you're also credited as mix consultant on Michael Land's The Dig. So what is what is a mix consultant?
You know, dude, if you notch it out at about 225K, the whole thing will open up. that was pretty much my and it did. I've been doing a lot of mixing, so he called me in, and it was sounding a little muddy, and so I had some suggestions that helped a lot, which he, of course, modified quite a bit, being Michael, but yeah, I think it was helpful, so that's why I got that credit.
Now, you've been scoring games as far back as 1991's Monkey Island 2.
Yeah.
And you've seen the evolution of game music into what it is today.
Yeah.
What do you see as the biggest advancement in game music?
Well, it's obviously production value is the biggest obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
There's also sort of the people are getting more, you know, turning to Hollywood guys more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of, that bums out a lot of people who have been in the business for a while, but I see it as essentially a good thing, because it shows you that you know, people care about music and games, and they're just, you know, trying to get what they think is better music. I would like to see a little more originality out there. I mean, you know, If I hear another Carmina Burana ripoff, I think I'm gonna go postal. In the old days, what's going on with game scores reflects what's going on with games in general. And in the old days, basically, it was very hard, because you had to have the one game in the one genre that was going to kick everybody else's ass.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have Castle Wolfenstein, because if you had Castle, you know, Bernstein, it wasn't going to cut it. There was only room for one shoot 'em up, you know. There was only one room for one flight sim. There was only one room for one graphic adventure that was good. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
but there were a very few titles that took the, and there were certain. And, you know, people would do a title, and it would be like, well, okay, no one can do Rebel Assault, because Rebel Assault is Rebel Assault, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's different. And the reason it's different is that the gameplay issues have settled down for so long, so that it's not like, well, because in those days of early games like that, it's like, oh, my God, I can fly a plane and it looks like Star Wars, you know. I can fly an X-Wing and it looks like Star Wars. Or, oh, my God, I can shoot up Nazis in a castle and they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was the novelty of actually the genre of the game.
Right.
And so what was novel was the genre. It wasn't the story. It wasn't about the artistic creativity as much as it was about the technical creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since technical creativity is more universal, it's more established, and, you know, it's taken for granted that you're going to get a certain, you know, certain visual quality and a certain amount of action, a certain, you know, sort of liveliness in the play. Now you can have, you know, you can actually have two or three World War II soldier games, because they have interesting stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, okay, everything's Medal of Honor. You know, that's not the way it is. And I think that also applies to the music, in that, you know, it's not, you're not going, oh my God, it's an orchestral score now anymore. You're going, oh, well, you know, that's a really cool score. That was a really interesting way to handle that, you know. You know, I think what I'm thinking of just off the top of my head was Medal of Honor, the specific one. I think it's called Rising Sun or something like that.
Right.
Don't quote me on that. But, you know, really interesting sort of Japanese kind of gagaku stuff in there. Then it's like, because it was done really, really, you know, it was definitely an interesting approach. And it's now, you know, now that, you know, we're not just worried about, you know, can we do something, but what do we want to do? I think that's probably the best positive development in the industry.